Rob, will you let Kat in?
I did.
I'm here.
Oh, thank God.
Hello and welcome to This Horror Life. My name is Rob Humphrey, joined as always by my co-host, Ghost. Ghost, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Rob?
Good, good. Much better now that my voice is back. Sorry, we missed a week because I had no voice.
Yep, Rob, just always making things complicated here.
I know. I did have a backup plan, though.
You did?
Yeah.
It was a very good backup plan, too. Yeah. I quite enjoyed it.
We have a guest today. It is Kat Valor.
Kat, hi, how are I'm you? The backup plan.
Yeah, you're the backup plan.
But I'm here anyway.
I had another backup plan, though, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was this.
Hello, Ghost and Kat.
Stop, you were not.
Yeah, I was just going to do the whole show this way.
Honestly, I wouldn't have hated it. It would have been really funny.
You would have hated it.
Nah.
He was on our show. He is over on the other one doing the Patreon show.
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of it. Yeah, I did a lot of the show like this.
Tonight we will be talking about zombies.
We were going to have a show one way or another.
I was going to say, I thought this was the backup to the backup plan, which was you not saying anything at all, period. And just sitting here while me and Kat recorded.
That was the initial backup plan. All failing everything else, we had the text-to-speech app that I found.
I can't. Who did you actually find that, or did someone find it for you?
No, I found it.
Oh, God.
It's pretty easy. You just Google text-to-speech and you'll find them.
Oh, God.
There are a lot of them.
Someone take the internet away from this man, please.
But anyway, we are here and all of us have voices, at least somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy about that. And I'm sure everybody else is happy about that, too. I know that a lot of my fans were worried.
I don't know. I still think the text-to-speech thing would have been really fucking funny. Although, you know what? The listeners probably would have hated it because you wouldn't have cut any of the dead air of me and Kat just laughing our asses off.
Uh-huh.
And they'd probably get real annoyed about that.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have cut that. You know, we don't do editing around here. That is not my style.
Nope.
We record live to tape without a net.
Yep.
What have you been up to since we last recorded, Ghost?
I haven't been up to much. As you guys know, I'm getting ready to move. I move next week. So I've just kind of been trying to get my life together and pack and clean, but I did watch a couple of movies. I rewatched Scream 5. Still love it.
Great movie. Scream?
Scream 5.
Good movie.
Amazing movie. And then I watched yesterday after I got home from work, I watched Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yes, you have.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say about it. I've seen it.
I also watched Repo this week to cheer me up from Feast 3.
Yeah, but that's it. I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight too when I can squeeze that in, but that's all I've been up to.
All right. Kat, what about you? You've been up to anything in the last week or so?
Yeah, I've read Eric LaRocca's You've Lost a Lot of Blood, which was exciting. Not nearly as weird as his last book, but I liked it. I watched more Walking Dead for work. final season of Walking Dead. And I started taking a class on Dante's Inferno, which has been fun. So.
Okay. Bunch of nerd stuff. All right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Did you see that Grady Hendrix has a new book coming out?
I did.
Another one?
Yeah, it's called How to Sell a Haunted House or
How
something like that.
How to Sell a Haunted House.
Yeah.
How many books a year does the man write?
I don't know. Yeah, he turns them out pretty quickly. Yeah. As far as what I've been up to, oh, I finished Stephen King's Salem's Lot.
Wow. Oh, how'd you like it?
It's fine. I mean, I was just like, all right, it was fine.
All right.
Yeah. So I did read that, and now I don't have a book yet, but I'll pick up something eventually, probably. As far as watching stuff goes, I got quite a bit here. I watched the Tubi original movie Hellblazers.
Ooh.
Which is a lot more fun than I expected a Tubi original movie to be. It's got an amazing cast. It's got like Tony Todd, Adrian Barbeau, John Cazier is in it. Wow. It's got Billy Zane with hair.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's got a lot of people in it, and it's not a great movie, but it is fun and entertaining. It's pretty well made. I didn't know what to expect a Tubi original movie to look like, but it was good.
Now, did you have to watch ads with the Tubi original
movie? Yes, you do. Which, oh, God. Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't sure how that would go either, but yeah, there are ads. There's another Tubi original I want to check out and I haven't gotten to yet called Titanic 666.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we'll look for a review of that soon, hopefully. I went to the theater and I saw The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent starring Nicolas Cage.
How was it?
Yes.
It is incredible. It's so much fun.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It looks fucking hysterical.
Nicolas Cage is amazing in it. The movie is just insane. It's so much fun.
And Pedro Pascal is also really good in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good in it too. I went to the theater and I saw The Northman, which is very good. The new Robert Eggers film about Vikings, and it's pretty cool. It's violent.
Love that.
I watched Joe Bob Briggs is back for his fourth season on Shudder.
I saw he was doing like really good movies on Friday, but I didn't know what they were until it was already mostly over.
He did one really good movie on Friday. He did Night of the Living Dead. Which was really good. And the second movie that he showed was Anthropophagus.
What?
Yeah, Anthropophagus. Oh. You heard me. It's
okay.
It's an Italian film from 1980 about a group of people who go to an island in Greece, and they get there and the island's deserted, and there's a guy running around killing everybody on the island and eating them. And that guy is the Anthropophagus.
And that wasn't good.
No, it wasn't very good.
Disappointing.
Yeah,
it is.
And then I watched Feast 3, The Happy Finish.
I'm sorry, but that just, it fucking kills me.
Yeah.
I personally thanked Chris and Greg.
Yeah, you can listen to the newest episode of Slasher Radio to hear my thoughts on that.
I'm sure it was not good. Was it a very short show?
You would think. You would think.
Oh God,
there's a lot of stalling.
Yeah, I feel like we veered off topic quite a bit.
None of us wanted to start talking about Feast 3.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, what good things could you possibly have to say about it?
Exactly.
See, it was, but the only good thing that I brought up about it was that it was in focus the whole time.
How about the fact that there's not another Feast movie for you guys to watch?
Yeah, I mean, there is that too.
That was nice.
Yeah. And then I watched The Deep House from 2021. It's a pretty good movie. It's about a couple who find an underwater haunted house.
Weird.
So it looks really good because it's all underwater, but it's not. I mean, the story's kind of paper thin.
I was just going to say, the house itself is underwater, or yeah. Is there like a civilization underwater?
Well, what it is, it's like an old house. It's like a situation. You know how back in the day they would flood valleys to create lakes?
Yeah.
And they would move people out, and they just flooded this valley, but the houses and stuff were still down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's haunted. Because the people died in the house, flooded it, or it was just haunted to be haunted?
It was haunted before it was flooded. But anyway, they go down there and they find it, and it's haunted, and it's pretty cool, you know, interesting underwater movie. And then I watched a movie from 2022 called Master, which is on Amazon Prime. It's a decent movie about, well, it's all about race. It's about three black women who are at this one of those old stodgy New England colleges, you know. And there's ghosts and witches and stuff that are sort of haunting the grounds and are really racist apparently and coming after these black women. It's a decent movie. It's not great, but it was decent. And then I watched the 2022 movie Choose or Die on Netflix.
I've heard that it was good.
Choose or Die is okay. The premise is pretty good.
It starts kind of slow.
Yeah, actually,
that doesn't bother me.
I forgot that I watched it. Even
I felt like at the beginning, like once they got into it and she started playing the game,
mm-hmm.
Because it's about a couple of people who find a game from the 80s and they start playing it, right?
Right,
and the game is.
I had a friend who was describing it to me, and it reminded me a lot of that movie Brain Scan. Where, like, you're playing the game and what's happening in the game is actually happening.
Oh, yeah, but that one was shit.
That movie was so much fun.
I didn't like that movie. But anyway, this one, I liked it when she started playing the game, but it seemed like the longer the movie went on, the worse the movie got. So, I mean, it was fine, I guess. I don't know. It killed some time. And then just today, I watched the 1997 movie Mimic. From Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, okay.
Which I hadn't seen in a long time, but is a fun watch. Not bad. About giant human-sized cockroaches killing people.
Yep, no thanks. I'm good. I'll pass on that one.
It's got Mira Sorvino in it, if that helps you.
Nope, I'll pass.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, really?
I mean, I might if I saw them, but...
Yeah, she was in Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
The lead,
yeah, she was that's the one not... who wasn't Lisa Kudrow, yeah,
yeah, okay, so yeah. I kind of know who that is, but
yeah, this I learned this about it that the reason I rewatched it actually is because I hadn't seen it in a long time. And Tim from Horror for Dummies
mm-hmm.
was doing a like a mini review of it, and that got me. I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time, maybe I'll watch it, and so I did, but one of the things that Tim was talking about, which I found was interesting, I didn't know, was that it's directed by Guillermo del Toro. And del Toro had a hell of a time with the Weinsteins on set. Like, they kept butting in. And apparently, at one point, they wanted to fire him. And Mira Sorvino, who's the star of the movie, mm-hmm. said that she would quit if they fired him. And she was really hot at the time. She had just won an Oscar a couple of years before. And was, you know, Romy and Michelle, and she was in a lot of movies at the time, so she was kind of a big deal. So they backed off and they let del Toro finish the movie, but then they took final cut away from him, and he sort of disowned the movie because they butchered it in editing.
Mm. Yeah. Mira Sorvino, also to bring this full circle, is the daughter of Paul Sorvino,
yes,
who was Roddy Largo in Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's right, he was in that,
yeah,
okay. You know. Yeah, Mira Sorvino. She won the Oscar for Woody Allen's Mighty Aphrodite.
Never.
Nobody saw that?
Or heard of it.
All right. Anyway, that's what I have done since the last time we recorded.
A lot, apparently. I've had a lot of time to sit around and watch shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No voice.
Can't yeah, I was work. Watching stuff. So, yeah, some good stuff, some bad stuff, whatever. Nothing too bad, really, except for Anthropophagus or whatever the hell that movie was called. But even watching that was kind of fun because it was with Joe Bob.
Yeah.
All right, should we get into the news, I guess?
Yeah.
That's how we do this show, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yeah. News. News next.
Dario Argento's Tenebrae is getting a 4K Ultra HD release from Arrow Video and Synapse Films. It looks like it will be a 3-disc 4K release limited to 6,000 pieces. And there's also a 2,000 piece variant cover version that will only be available from Synapse Films and Diabolik DVD. It will release July 26, 2022. Kind of excited about this, actually. Tenebrae is one of my favorite Argento films. I really like it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it a lot. So anyway, looking forward to that. Warner Brothers has confirmed during CinemaCon that we will indeed be getting, are you guys ready for this?
Ready.
The Nun 2.
No, thanks.
It's finally coming. That's right. So excited. It's going to be directed apparently by the same guy who made The Curse of La Llorona and The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Oh, that movie was so bad, though.
Yeah.
My letter writing campaign worked. I'm finally getting The Nun 2.
Are you actually excited for that, Kat, or are you being sarcastic?
I'm being sarcastic. Okay. I barely made it through The Nun.
I never watched it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Any Conjuring movie outside of like the first two, anything in that universe, I won't watch.
It's garbage. It's all garbage. I've seen every single one of the films and they're all garbage.
I haven't seen any of the Annabelles. How many? There's like three of them, aren't there?
Yes.
Some stupid shit like that.
I've seen all of them, I think, except for The Devil Made Me Do It because I fell asleep. Terrible. And I never got the initiative to go back and finish.
What pissed me off the most about this movie, and I'm sure you're probably not ever going to finish it, so if I spoil it, I don't think you'll be mad, Kat.
I'm not going to be mad.
Is the fact that they made it seem like, okay, it's a person that's doing this. Like, it's not actually anything really supernatural. It's just like a witch. But then they turn it into... like, oh no, it is supernatural, actually. Just kidding.
Of course they did.
I'm like, you could have done something really fucking cool here, and you didn't.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was not a good movie. And Paramount announced also at CinemaCon that the next installment in the A Quiet Place franchise is going to be A Quiet Place Day One.
It's a prequel,
spinoff movie, directed by Michael Sarnowski, who did the Nicolas Cage film Pig. He's going to be directing it, and it will be in theaters September 22nd, 2023. I'm a little bit on the fence about that. I don't know that I need any more Quiet Place movies.
I was going to say, I think what's interesting about A Quiet Place is they don't give you like how they became, like how these creatures ended up there and causing all this shit, you know?
So when you say a spinoff, like, is it, if it, here's the thing, if it's a very specific kind of movie, I could be really into it, because like you said, Ghost, I don't want too much exposition for A Quiet Place. But if it's a separate family and it's a prequel, if it follows Day One but it can do that without explaining why, then I would be super into that. If it's just like another family experiencing the first day of this.
But yeah. Isn't that just going to be fucking like Bird Box all over again? I feel like.
No. Bird Box is completely different. You see, in a quiet place, you have to be quiet. In Bird Box, you can't look at them.
It's the same shit. You take away one of your senses.
It's completely different. Completely different.
No. Listen, same shit, different font. Okay. That's what that is.
I don't know. Because you get a little bit of the background in A Quiet Place too. I mean,
I still haven't seen that.
We see like Day One. We see everything sort of going down. So I don't know. I don't know.
My favorite scene from A Quiet Place too. And I will say, I was really skeptical about whether or not we needed A Quiet Place 2, and I ended up liking it fine. I would give it a shot.
I liked it when I came out of the theater, but I don't know that I would ever want to rewatch that one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to rewatch A Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'll end up going to see it when it comes out, and, you know, I guess I'll make up my mind then. Ghost, you had some news, didn't you?
I do have some news. Haunted Mansion. We had talked that Disney is doing like a a new movie for Haunted Mansion. And the cast just has me questioning things. I don't know who Lakeith Stanfield is, but included in the cast is Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, and Danny DeVito. So I just don't know.
It sounds funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently Danny DeVito is playing a crotchety historian. Tiffany Haddish is a French Quarter psychic. Owen Wilson is playing a priest.
Here's the thing. If you described that movie to me exactly like you just did, but I didn't know it was a Haunted Mansion movie, I'd be super into it.
Yeah. Lakeith Stanfield is pretty good, too. He's been in some good stuff.
I can't think of who that is off the top of my head.
He was in Get Out. He played the friend who gets kidnapped, and then he sees him again at the party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guy, he takes the picture of him and his nose starts bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to Bother You.
Never saw that.
And Knives Out. He was in that.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, yeah. Judas and the Black Messiah. He was in. He's really good. He's been in some really good stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know if like the plot is going to be similar to the 2003 movie, which I adored growing up, but the cast is definitely interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, that is an interesting cast. You adored that 2003 movie because you were a kid, by the way.
I'm
that
sure
movie
I did.
Is not good.
I'm sure I did. But yeah, that's coming out March 10th of next year. So,
all right. Well, depending on what the trailers look like, I might see it. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I have no idea what the plot is. I don't know if it's going to be the same, if it's going to be something completely different. I don't know what, but we'll see. Next thing I have, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday when you recorded for Slasher Radio, but Dead Sled Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys talk about this yesterday?
We did. I want to talk about this all the time. It looks so good.
Yep. Came out with Never Sleep Again, A Nightmare on Elm Street blend of coffee.
It is supposed to have a higher caffeine content than the Robert England blend from them, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, apparently they signed a deal with Warner Brothers, a two-year deal to the rights for It Chapters 1 and 2, Beetlejuice, the entire Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, the entire Friday the 13th franchise, and Freddy vs. Jason.
I cannot wait for Freddy vs. Jason coffee.
Can't wait to try that delicious Jason Takes Manhattan coffee. It's gonna taste like the New York City sewers flooded with
toxic
waste.
Sludge. Yeah, yeah.
It probably will. But this is really cool. Like, I know you're really big into coffee. I'm not really a coffee person, but even just having this, just like a bag of it sitting out on the counter, would be cool. Whew. They have whole bean and ground too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
it is kind of nice. I have switched. I almost exclusively drink Robert England Dead Sled coffee now, because I got one bag so that I could have the bag, but it and ended up being like one of my favorite coffees. And I've been trying some of their other blends, keep coming back to the Robert England. But yeah, I got my first bag of it whole bean, because it's better if you grind it fresh.
Right.
I don't always have that kind of attention in the mornings though, so I've switched to getting it pre-ground.
Maybe
I'll have to try some of that. I don't know. You're always talking about how good it is. Maybe I'll have to get a bag of it.
I really like it. And usually I like darker roasts than this is a dark roast, but I usually like somewhere around like the French to Italian roast range, like really, really dark beans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit lighter than I usually have it, but it is smooth. Like,
okay.
There's none of that bitterness.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out.
I'll be honest, even if I bought this coffee, it would be drowned in cream and sugar. So I don't know that I'd actually taste the coffee. But
that's how I drink my coffee,
cool.
too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just gross.
We'll drink coffee either way. And actually, I think it's one of the reasons I prefer dark roast is because you can still get that deep coffee flavor through all the cream.
See, I don't like coffee, so that's why I put so much cream and sugar in it.
You might have to put a lot of cream and sugar in it.
Like I drink two types of coffee, and that's French vanilla from Dunkin' Donuts and pumpkin from Dunkin' Donuts, and that's about it. So Kat's like, I'm never letting this bitch talk to me about coffee ever.
No, again. That French vanilla Dunkin', it's good.
Oh, it is good. It's like one of the only ones that I will drink. Let's see, what else do I have? Have you guys heard of the game? It's a little indie game called Poppy Playtime.
I have indeed.
You have indeed. Indie One just made a deal to develop a film adaptation for the game.
I'm glad that that's a real thing. I've been seeing a lot of fan art for it, and I didn't know if it was wishful thinking on the community's part or... But
I think a lot of times it is. I'm not surprised, though, because I've seen these little, like, the Poppy Playtime dolls, mm-hmm. like, around, like, everywhere. I don't know when that happened and where they got the rights to make merchandise for it, but... The game is fucking terrifying.
Here's the thing that I'll say, because I don't necessarily want... I, for a long time, wanted the FNAF movie, and then I got Willy's Wonderland, and it's like, you know what? That's all the FNAF movie I ever need in my entire life. That's kind of how I feel about a lot of these indie game things, is that it's mm-hmm. like, I am not expecting anything better than what Willy's Wonderland gave me, but I'll still go see it. If it gets a theatrical release, I'll rent it. Or if it doesn't, I think anytime an indie game like this can be adapted into a movie, it's just so good for the community, you know?
Yeah, I think it really is. And I think it's good for, you know, people who play or who make these indie games, because I feel bad a lot of times because when we talk about video games, it always ends up being not just in the horror community, but just in general, it's always these big ass AAA games, and it's never ends up being anything horror related. So I'm glad that the indie community for gaming is getting kind of brought to light with it being turned into a movie. Like, hey, these are ideas that these people have, and they're really, really good. Go yeah, play their game. It's like $5 too to play.
Oh, absolutely. And I play, I think my argument generally just kind of comes from, I don't like video game movies that much most of the time, but yeah. I mostly play indie titles. Like, I don't remember I think maybe the last AAA title I played was Until Dawn, which was forever ago. So it is exciting to see the indie game community get some love.
Is Until Dawn AAA?
I don't know. The last, like, big release I did, I don't think it is.
It might be.
Studio Rob likes.
Yeah, I can't remember. If
it's from Supermassive.
The last high-budget game I played might have been a better way to phrase that.
That's fair. There's not many AAA horror games out there. That's why I was like, is it? But I think it's exciting for the horror community, even if it... I imagine it's going to end up being geared a little bit more towards, like, kids and not so much, like, adult horror, but I think it's really cool.
I never even heard of it.
It's, like, it's a game where you're, like, you're trying to escape this, like, abandoned factory, and you're trying to figure out, like, why all the employees just, like, disappeared, and there's this giant fucking blue toy that chases you down and is trying to kill you.
Sounds terrible.
It is frightening, is it? To say the least.
Oh, yeah.
Jump scares galore.
Yeah.
The last thing that I have, speaking of Supermassive, The Quarry has 186 different endings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So talk about replayability. 186. The script had over 1,000 pages.
Wow.
I'm really looking forward to The Quarry. It comes out in July.
I believe so. No, June 10th.
Oh,
is
wow.
there any chance it's getting a Switch release? I've got to get my PC fixed.
Nope. Looks like it's coming out for PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, and Series XS, and PC via Steam.
Oh, no. What are you going to do, Kat?
I'm going to have to get my PC fixed.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to bite the bullet and get a PS5.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
It might actually just be cheaper to get a PlayStation 4. It's still coming out for PlayStation 4. So.
Here's the thing. I put off getting... I lost my PlayStation 4. I put off replacing it because I knew the 5 was coming out.
I'm sorry. Did you say you lost your PlayStation 4?
I lost custody of my PlayStation 4 in a nasty breakup.
Okay. All right. I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean you lost it?
Yeah. I lost custody of it.
Okay.
So it was... And I just put off replacing it because it's like, I knew the 5 was coming out pretty soon after that. And then just all of the hassles with the 5. If I replaced my 4 now, it'd be like admitting defeat.
Yeah. Fair.
There's a bit of a trick to getting a PlayStation 5 I can tell you about later, Kat.
Okay. I'm scared.
No, I don't want to share it online.
Is this illegal?
No, it's not illegal at all. It's what I did to get mine.
I forgot you got one.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Cheap. But yeah, 186 endings. I'm very excited for this one, especially since I wasn't able to play Until Dawn because I didn't have a PlayStation and it was a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, too bad the quarry's not.
Dick. Yeah, it's there's going to be hundreds of videos of people playing this game and trying to get all the different endings, and I can't even imagine the hours that it will take for people to get all of them, because wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's gonna be a lot of fun though. I'm looking forward to playing it.
Oh yeah,
those games are always fun.
They certainly are. That is all I have for news.
All right, so we'll get into this week's topic, which is zombies. I guess first of all, overall, we can talk about zombie movies or zombies in general a little bit. Is it a subgenre that you like, Kat?
This is actually, this was my first favorite subgenre of horror. I don't know if that's true anymore, just because I've broadened my horizons a lot since then. But in high school, I was all zombie movies all the time. Like, I just absolutely adore this genre.
What about you, Ghost? Do you like zombie movies?
You know what? Much like Kat, I feel like we all went through a zombie phase in high school. I remember, really getting into The Walking Dead whenever the second season came out, and I was like so into that show, and I was like, zombies this, zombies that, they're so great. I remember starting to write a story with some of my friends in high school about what we would all do if the zombie apocalypse happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not as into zombie movies. I think it was just like oversaturated in horror for a while, and I just kind of like got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I still like them.
That's where I'm at too. Just the sheer number of zombie movies and zombie games and zombie related things that have come out over the last however many years, it got to be too much. So to the point to where if somebody was like, hey, have you seen this movie, whatever, and I'd be like, no, is it? And they're like, oh, it's really good, it's about these zombies, and I would just tune out immediately. Like, I just wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't watch Train to Busan for the longest time.
I still haven't seen it.
People kept telling me how great it was, and I was like, I don't want to watch the zombie movie. I don't care. And finally I didn't. It's wonderful. But
I was so glad I saw, because I'm the same way. If too many people hype up a movie, I'm not going to want to see it, because it's like, it's not going to live up to those expectations.
Exactly.
I was really early in on the Train to Busan thing, which is great, because if I had heard everyone talking about it, it's like I never would have gotten around to watching it. And it's one of my favorite movies. I love that.
Yeah. I think there's a very large oversaturation of movies and video games for the longest time. Like, every video game that came out that was horror related had something to do with zombies. And like I played Left 4 Dead a lot when I was in high school, and that was kind of one of my forays into gaming as a whole. And I mean, obviously that game is all zombies all the time. So
yeah,
there's just a lot of it.
Yeah.
I did, because even I got a little bit burnt out during my whole zombie thing. I went back to watch as many of the classics as I could. I watched a bunch of zombie movies over the course of like a year. Mm-hmm. And I did get a little bit burnt out. And that was like right around the time that all horror movies were coming out with more and more zombie content and shows. Netflix was really bad. And there were a lot of zombie things on Netflix. But I do think we're getting kind of a resurgence of new zombie territory right now.
Mm-hmm.
Korean zombies are hitting America finally, which I really am excited about.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because zombies, as sort of the, what are they like? I guess you can call them the creatures or whatever, mm-hmm. aren't that old. At least not in the form that we think of them.
Right.
You know, for a long time, zombies were sort of the Haitian sort of voodoo or hoodoo or whatever notions of zombies, where it was somebody taking control of, you know, another person's body or sort of controlling them. And we still see stories like that every once in a while, but not nearly as often. You know, it wasn't the sort of reanimated dead didn't come along until Romero in 68 with Night of the Living Dead.
Wow.
So really, zombies haven't been around that long. I mean, when you look at, you know, vampires and werewolves and shit.
Right.
So it's, I mean, I guess it makes sense that we're getting a bunch of that stuff now. They're still fairly new in the world of horror.
I think the biggest thing with zombie movies and what makes them kind of feel repetitive is they're always the same rules for the most part, right? Like the way someone can get infected differs, but a lot of the times it's they're slow moving and they're rotting and decaying and they, you know, sound and smell is what attracts them. And you can only kill them by shooting them in the head or, you know, stabbing them in the brain or whatever. Like there's set rules and then they don't really differ that much. See,
I think that there's actually when you look at zombies in comparison to other creature features, even though they're relatively new. If you look at like a zombie versus a vampire, I actually think there's a lot more wiggle room in the zombie mythology.
There is, but I'm saying like a lot of times, like it's like most follow like a specific formula of, all right, so this guy, you know, whatever changed him changed patient zero. And then, oh, this guy got bit. Now he's a zombie. And you can only kill him by shooting him in the head. And like, people don't stray very far off of that formula because they don't know if it's going to be received well. So they stick to the status quo, if you will, quote High School Musical, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe people are worried about backlash. I mean, there are people who yell about 28 Days Later that it's not a zombie movie because people are infected. They didn't die and come back. But I think that's kind of a silly argument.
I agree. That's a little silly, but
you know, do you guys like fast moving or slow moving zombies?
Both.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually one of the points that I kind of wanted to talk about today. I for a long time was like a diehard slow zombies are the better zombies camp because for me, I think when you just look at the zombie mythology as a whole, that slow-moving zombies are a lot more effective at bringing about what's scary about a zombie. Because for me, it's not like the idea that a zombie can kill me. Anything can kill me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of real-world stuff that can kill me. Humans are very fragile, right? But, like, I think a lot of the creepiness comes from the fact that it's like that uncanny valley thing where it's like, this used to be a person. This is like a dead thing that is moving at me. Mm-hmm. And so I was a lot more afraid of zombies that were slower and more reminiscent of that death aspect of them. I liked Night of the Living Dead and like Cemetery Man and Shaun of the Dead. Like even Shaun of the Dead zombies, I think, were a lot scarier than like Zombieland, which was also a horror comedy, but the zombies didn't scare me because they were more like people. Mm-hmm. And even like 28 Days Later, we talked about, it has fast moving zombies, but a lot of the terror in the movie didn't come from the zombies. It came from like the vast social changes and the isolation and the uncertainty. And even though it's like a great horror movie, the zombies weren't that scary, and like World War Z is just like a fucking action movie. The one that got me the kind of proof of concept for me was Train to Busan, which has the fast zombies, and I loved that one. I thought it was like the rule, the exception that proves the rule. Mm-hmm. But then I started watching All of Us Are Dead, and that shit those are some scary zombies.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
It did kind of bring me around on the idea that fast zombies can be scary.
Yeah, I think to your point too, like slow zombies just seem more logical. Like if zombies were going to be real, you'd think they're slow because they're decaying and falling apart and, you know,
Yeah.
Their legs are broken and shit and they're just hobbling around. Like it makes more logical sense, at least from my standpoint, because when I watch, a lot of times I prefer horror movies that are, you know, kind of cemented in reality and things that could actually happen and make logical sense to me. Like, oh, hey, I can actually see that happening. You know, I get lost sometimes in like sci-fi and fantasy, like maybe. But like the slow moving zombies is like, damn, dude, that makes sense. That's scary.
It makes a lot more sense, I think, than especially because it is, it's more believable. It makes more sense than the mythology. With fast moving zombies, I think one of the dangers is it's just like, we created the scariest monster we could think of. It looks mm-hmm. dead, but it's going to run around real fast and get you. It's like, all right.
Yeah, I think I prefer the slow moving zombies, but mostly because my favorite zombie movies all have slow moving zombies, I think, for the most part. You mentioned something that I thought was interesting, Kat, in that in talking about 28 Days Later, that it's not the zombies that are really the scary part, but the social changes and the other people and everything that are still in the world. And I think that's something that's pretty common among zombie movies and TV
absolutely.
Shows and things like mm-hmm. The Walking Dead and that sort of thing, that sort of the way society changes and the way that other people act.
It's one of the reasons why I love 28 Days Later so much, because I think even not since like the first zombie, not since White Zombie, but like since Night of the Living Dead, I feel like social change and the inner demon within us has always been like a pretty big staple of the zombie genre.
Yeah, it's a subgenre that's pretty open for social commentary stuff. I mean, Romero did that with basically all of his zombie films.
Yeah.
He put that in there. What are some of your favorites, Ghost?
Oh my god, stop. Oh my god, it's so hard. Because The Walking Dead was like one of my favorite shows for a very long time until it got the reason I stopped liking it so much was because it became more about the people, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but when I started watching that show, it was like, holy fuck, these zombies are scary. Like at any point in time, like these people are just traveling in a little camp, like they could just come up and that's it. And I really like that, but ended up stopping watching it because all my favorite characters died and that was very upsetting. But like off the top of my head, I freaking love Zombieland. Great movie. Shaun of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead, the remake. I really, really liked that one. Oh, there's so many.
Yeah, I think I like all those movies. Kat, do you have any particular favorites?
We've talked about most of my particular favorites, but Night of the Living Dead, Shaun of the Dead, Train to Busan, 28 Days Later, and then like it's such a dumb thing to talk about in May, but I really liked Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's a zombie movie, is it not?
It is a zombie movie. I also really liked Dead Snow.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one.
It's kind of just a fun wacky pick.
Yeah, Dead Snow is a fun one. It's not the sequel's terrible. I did not like the sequel.
No, the sequel sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those are pretty much in line with all my favorites too. I love the Romero films, especially the first three, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. I think Day of the Dead is slept on for some reason in that trilogy. It's a really interesting movie, especially because you've got the one zombie. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. What's his name? Bud, who is starting to gain intelligence. So that's I think was a really interesting concept that Romero was playing with in that movie. Ghost, you found a list, right? Of some of the best.
Yes. So I didn't actually look through the list very well, and was published in October of 2020. So there are probably some movies that I don't know if they came out in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Or not, that should be on the list.
But oh, you know, it's a little outdated. That Zack Snyder Vegas movie is not going to be on here.
I'm sure that movie was terrible.
Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead.
That movie was not good.
Real quick before the list, I just want to throw this in here. I don't consider it a zombie movie overall, but I think one of my favorite zombies in a movie are the Buckners. I had to bring up the Buckners real quick from Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
The zombified pain worshipping backwoods idiots.
So this list that Ghost found is from IndieWire. And it is, there are 17 movies on here.
17?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And at number 17 on their list, they put Dawn of the Dead from Zack Snyder. The 2004 remake is not bad. I mean, it's probably Zack Snyder's best movie.
I will agree that really it's Zack Snyder's best movie.
I really liked this movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember really, really liking it and having a good time watching it.
I don't blame you. It got the whole like zombie mythology down very strong while also really encapsulating like the cinematic trends of the time.
Yeah.
Very gore forward.
Rob hates it because it's early 2000s.
No, I don't. I don't dislike it at all. Number 16 on the list is Little Monsters, 2019. Did you guys see this movie?
Yeah.
I feel like it was like only released on Hulu here in America. But I really enjoyed this movie too. I thought it was really funny. It's a really good comedy.
Oh, all right.
It's fun, yeah.
Yeah. It's got Lupita. I can never say her last name. Is it Nyong'o?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. she's in it. It's also got Josh Gad in a small role in the movie as a children's entertainer who's very funny. So, yeah. If you haven't seen it, Ghost, I'd recommend checking it out. It's a really funny movie.
All right.
Yeah. Number 15 on their list is Paranorman.
Take it off the list right now.
I don't think I saw this. It's a cartoon.
It's a kids movie.
I don't know.
I just know it's a kids movie.
Okay. Number 14 is a movie that I haven't seen, but I've heard very good things about. It's called The Girl with All the Gifts. Have you guys seen that?
Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe should have brought that up on my list of favorites. I like The Girl with All the Gifts a lot.
Oh my gosh. Who is that woman? She looks so familiar. Maybe I don't know who that is.
No, I have no idea.
So bad with actors.
Number 13 on their list is George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Really low on this list.
Yeah, way too low. way too low.
I figured it out. The Girl with All the Gifts has Glenn Close, and that's who I thought it was. I just didn't want to say that without being sure.
Number 12 on their list is The Last Man on Earth from 1964. I've never even heard of this movie.
Vincent Price is in
The Last Man on Earth, isn't that one of the adaptations of I Am Legend?
Yeah, it's talking about I Am Legend a lot here in this little paragraph they wrote about it.
On a side note, I Am Legend, I didn't bring up on my list of favorite zombie movies. I liked it a lot. But it is really weird
though.
Because it's based on, they acted a lot like fast-paced zombies in the movie, but it is based off of a vampire novel.
Yeah, I was which, gonna like, say,
really threw me for a loop.
Yeah,
I haven't seen I Am Legend for a really long time, and I remember when I first watched it, I was like, are these supposed to be zombies or some like vampire bitch like people or what's going on? Because it never really made sense, which is why I also didn't bring it up.
Yeah,
because I do also really like I Am Legend, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I couldn't remember if they were mutants or zombies or what the hell they were.
Yeah, I've only seen that movie once, and it was like right when it came out, so I don't know. In my head, they were always vampires for some reason.
Yeah.
They were vampires in the book, but they kind of missed the mark.
Yeah. Number 11 is a movie, I don't even know how to pronounce this title. Ojuju?
Close enough for me. Yeah. That's what I would say, probably.
Right. No idea what it is. Apparently it's set in Nigeria. I don't know if it's a Nigerian film or what. Number 10 is 28 Days Later. That's really sort of become an iconic zombie film, hasn't it? In the last 20 years. Jeez, that movie's 20 years old.
So let me ask this. I've never seen this. Is this a movie that you have to put on the list, or
you've never seen 28 Days Later?
No.
How is that even possible?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, that's
kind of. I always mix it up with whatever that one other movie is. It's like 28 Days or some shit like that. And so I just
it's a Sandra Bullock rehab movie.
I don't know. I always mix them up. So I've never watched either of them because I just.
Well, the Sandra Bullock movie, 28 Days, is pretty good too. It's not bad. Sandra Bullock goes to rehab and falls in love. It's a romantic comedy. Not bad.
I'll pass.
Number 9 is something called Cemetery Man. You mentioned it, Kat. I've never heard of this thing. It looks like it's got Rupert Everett in it.
It does.
Doesn't scream zombie movie to me, but all right.
This picture doesn't scream zombie, but
It was a weird one.
I have to say, it looks like a zombie rom-com.
Yeah,
that's not.
It's not far off.
True.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Yeah, it's described in this article here as a surreal gothic fever dream.
It reminds me, what is that Warm Bodies, is that what it is, where she's like dating a zombie or some shit like that?
Oh yeah, Warm Bodies. Yeah. That's not a bad one. Number 8 on this list is Train to Busan.
Really low.
Yeah, it's really low. It's a really, really good movie. Number 7 is Shaun of the Dead.
Really low. So all my favorite movies have like already been on this list. And I don't know if I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead is just, it's one of those just perfect horror comedies, in my opinion. It just does everything so well.
Yeah. The only complaint that I have about Shaun of the Dead is they take a shot at Prince's Batman soundtrack. And I don't care for that, because that soundtrack slaps.
Mm-hmm, sure it does.
Number 6 on the list is Zombie from Lucio Fulci.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have put it above Shaun of the Dead, but no, I'll take it.
I would not have put it this high on the list either. Well, not above the movies that it's above. Same with this one. Number 5 is Wreck.
Wreck, I'm sorry, it's overrated.
I enjoy Wreck. The problem,
it's fine, but it gets so hyped.
Yeah, and there's a problem that it's not the movie's fault, but if you try to find it, you cannot find it anywhere in the subtitled version. The only thing you can find is the dubbed version.
Yeah, you have to watch that might also be a part of my problem with
it's
Wreck.
Very annoying.
Okay, so I have not seen Wreck, but I have seen Quarantine.
Okay.
Which apparently is a shot-for-shot remake.
It's, Quarantine is a lot cleaner, I feel like. There was something a lot grittier about Wreck, but it was, the one thing I will say about Quarantine over it is the dialogue felt a lot more natural. Obviously, that's a subtitling issue, which...
Right.
Like Rob was saying, it's kind of hard to hold Wreck accountable for poor dubbing, but like...
Yeah. Yeah. Quarantine, I remember thinking was okay.
Yeah, I don't remember hating Quarantine. I think I've only seen it, I think, once, and it was close to when it came out or a couple years after. So it's been a long time since I've seen it. And I remember liking it. I didn't. That's where she's like a TV reporter or some shit, and she gets locked in.
Yeah.
They get locked into like the apartment complex or something.
Yeah, they're locked in the apartment building. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mind Quarantine. I actually didn't even mind the sequel to Quarantine that was like on the airplane.
Oh God, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. Number four on this list is the 1977 Cronenberg film Rabid. I like this movie quite a bit. It's really the only Cronenberg film I've seen that I like.
I'm sorry, it's the only Cronenberg film you've seen that you like?
Yeah, I think so. What other movies has he made that I would like? Am I forgetting something?
I feel like a lot of movies, right?
I think he's... Hold on, let me look at his...
He's made The Fly.
Okay, yeah, I did like The Fly.
Videodrome.
I didn't see Videodrome.
Scanners. Let's see.
I haven't seen Scanners.
A Dangerous Method. I've not Jason X.
Well, he's
I don't
in
know Jason, why that's on here.
He's in Jason X. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like Cosmopolis, I saw that. I didn't like it. History of Violence.
What about Scanner Cop?
Well, like The Fly and Videodrome. Well, I know you said you didn't see Videodrome.
Yeah, I didn't
those
see
are
Videodrome.
Like staples.
The Fly is good. I do like The Fly. All right. Maybe I. You know what? I haven't seen enough to make a judgment. The only other movie I can see on this list that I've seen is Crash.
I will say Rabbit is my favorite Cronenberg film. And I'm a little bit ashamed of myself for forgetting it.
Crash is just okay. But anyway, Rabbit is very good. I liked it a lot. I didn't see the remake that came out.
Mm-hmm. The remake was not bad.
Yeah.
It was different. It helped if you didn't compare the two too much.
Okay.
Much like the Romero remakes, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, if you don't look at them side by side.
I don't know about number three on this list. I guess it's a zombie movie. I never really thought of it as one. They've got Reanimator.
Reanimator, I actually made like a list of zombie adjacent movies that I enjoy. And it's on there. I don't get mad when people call it a zombie movie because technically it is. I guess.
To me, it just feels more like a mad scientist movie.
Yeah. The focus is on the science and not on the zombies, which is, especially in the 80s, was kind of like a weird step for the genre.
Yeah. Not a bad movie, though. Good movie.
No, good time.
Number two is one that I have not seen before. It is I Walked with a Zombie from 1943. It's a RKO movie from Val Lewton.
I liked that one because it does focus more on the voodoo.
Right.
Zombie.
Yeah, I knew that about it. I've just never seen it. I do like some of Val Lewton's movies, though. The ones I've seen, I enjoy. It's just not one I've gotten around to. But they have that at number two, which seems high to me.
It's pretty high. Yeah.
And then their number one is Dawn of the Dead from 1978.
Interesting.
Which I don't necessarily disagree with. I do like that movie a lot.
I'm surprised that of all of the Romero films that this one is at number one.
I think. I mean, I don't know which one I like better. I don't know if I like Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead better. Night of the Living Dead is such a great movie.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've seen all of the Romero, you know, dead movies, all the zombie movies. But I don't know that this one would be at the top for me. It definitely is in the top, don't get me wrong. Like I even said the remake is one of my favorites, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I definitely would not recommend watching all of them because they're not good. Well, once you get past the first three, it gets real rough.
Fair.
And wait a minute, what is this? Are they continuing these movies?
Oh no.
Because I just pulled up a list of the films in the Night of the Living Dead series, right? And it's got one listed as with a 2022 release called A Night of the Living Dead. And then two more after that, Road of the Dead and Twilight of the Dead.
Oh, God.
So no. I don't know.
God, no, please.
It looks like that might be what they're doing under the supervision of Suzanne Romero. Oh, but that's I don't know about that.
That's sketchy.
Yeah, I don't know about that at all. All right. Anyway, yeah, a lot of these get bad. After Day of the Dead, then you start to get into, you know, the ones from the 2000s, like Land of the Dead and Diary and Survival. Ooh, none of those are good.
Yeah. I remember really liking Diary of the Dead, but I have not seen it since it came out. And it's I have a feeling it would not hold up.
No, is that the found footage one? One of them I know for sure, at least one of them is found footage.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that list. I don't have a problem with Dawn of the Dead being at number one, but some of the stuff that they put, Reanimator.
Really good job with the list, but it was in the wrong order.
Right, yeah, shuffle them around and maybe you got the list. Yeah, yeah.
Some of those movies should not have been as high as they were.
Yeah, you mentioned you had a list of zombie adjacent movies, Kat. What's on that list?
Well, the Reanimator is on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Planet Terror is on that list. It's another one. Technically, they're zombies. Yeah. But, it doesn't feel like a zombie movie.
No, that just feels like a batshit crazy action movie from Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
again, awesome movie, but, yeah.
I have Evil Dead on here.
That popped up when I was doing searches for things, but that doesn't feel so much like a zombie, maybe voodoo zombie.
That's why I put it as zombie adjacent. I don't think of the Deadites as zombies, but these were some of the first zombie movies that were ever recommended to me when I first started getting into zombies, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that a lot of people count them, so I always kind of put them in zombie adjacent category, even though Deadites are not, I guess technically if you just go by Reanimated Dead, but they're more repossessed
corpses.
Yeah, I've never really thought of the Deadites as zombies either, but it's interesting to think of it that way.
They possess them before they're dead anyways?
In sometimes. Cases. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of the original. The very first Evil Dead. Don't they?
In the very first Evil Dead, there are instances where that happens, but I'm pretty sure the girlfriend is dead before she is possessed.
Maybe. I don't remember it that well because I'm brain dead a little bit. I might be a zombie, who knows?
and my last zombie adjacent movie is Pet Sematary.
Oh yeah.
Zombie adjacent. Yeah. I don't really think of it as a zombie movie, but it is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Overrated movie.
I'm not going to fight you on that. I like the original. I think it's fun, but it, especially lately, people have been I don't know what happened. I think maybe the remake hit streaming and people started reading the book for the first time since it came out. I've had so many people recommend the book Pet Sematary to me recently, and it's I read that. It's been out forever.
That's a staple Stephen King book, is it not?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read it.
I've never read it, but
I just finished Salem's Lot, so what do I know? Which apparently, by the way, is getting a new movie this year.
Which I'm surprised that you didn't like Salem's Lot more. That's one of my favorite vampire
it's okay. It was just too long. And I was kind of after a while, I was do I have to meet every bumpkin that lives in this little ass town? Can we just get to the vampires already?
Speaking of zombies though, and Stephen King books, have you read Cell?
I have.
I forgot about that until we just started talking about that. That was one of my favorite Stephen King novels for a very long time. don't know why, because it's not one that's like a lot of people talk about. Have you seen the movie that came out?
Forever ago.
Trash movie. Terrible movie. Don't watch it.
I don't remember it at all.
The book? So good.
The book's a lot of fun. Like, I understand that people don't talk about it much because I don't know if it was his best work. I think it didn't help. That was one of the ones that was like serialized. So it was kind of hard to get your hands on a copy of it. But really? Like, it's a fun time though.
It is a really good book. And I think it was a little before its time too. I'm not sure exactly when the book came out, but like now if people read that, they'd be fucking terrified because the whole premise is the cell phone signal in towers or whatever is turning people into zombies. Yeah.
That's a solid premise.
It is good. Mm. And like they change over time and it ends up becoming like this whole like hive mind bullshit. It's really, really bizarre. It's a really good book and it's one of my favorite Stephen King books that I've read.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you at all for that. It was solid.
I remember reading it in like middle school. I'm going to see when it came out.
Well, yeah. If you want to learn about every single person in a small town, read Salem's Lot. Because Ms. Kepper, I was just like, are you kidding? When are the vampires going to show up, man? Mm. Once the vampire stuff starts and it really starts going, then it's fine. But this is like, that was 300 pages of the history of this town.
Yeah. Stephen King has a way of making his books so much longer than they need to be by going into so much backstory before you get to it. Because I feel like it was like that.
See, here's the thing, I think, with Stephen King, because he's gotten to be very well known for doing that. And he has these books that are just like an ungodly amount of pages. If I like the story, I love having that extra context. But if the story is just okay, I get very frustrated. And I think like a really good example of that is The Stand. The original version that got published had 400 pages cut out of it. And will only read the version with the extra 400 pages because The Stand is so fucking good. And it's like, I want every word in there. But like Under the Dome is like, what, 600, 700 pages? And it is too long. It's about 500 pages too long. Yeah.
He's famous for that and also not being able to get the ending right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although the ending to Salem's Lot, I will say, was not bad. It was fine.
It's why I think like people shouldn't overlook his early work, because despite what Rob said about Salem's Lot, I think it's very clean in comparison to his newer stuff. And it's, you know, like Carrie...
There's an entire chapter focused. That goes through a day in this town.
I was going to say.
It literally starts, it's like 6 a.m. and Farmer Bob got up.
That's
7:30 over here. The milkman's doing this at 8 o'clock. This person, what the fuck is going on, man?
You're like, I don't care about this. Give me the vampires.
I get it. They live in a small fucking town.
I think most of the Stephen King books I've read have all been his shorter novels. Like I've read Carrie. Cell was on the short end. I can't even think off the top of my head. Misery was his too, right? I read that. So I think the longest Stephen King book I ever read was It.
And It was really sold on its like the intimate fears of its characters.
It was a solid book.
Mind the length so much with It, even though it's the movies have not been my favorite.
Listen, don't knock the TV miniseries.
Never. It had its faults, but I love it so much.
It's it's not as good as chapter one and chapter two that just came out.
No, stop it. Stop it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Salem's Lot was like, I guess when it comes to books, like, you just got to hold my attention. Like, all that background stuff, like, I just get... And it's very easy for me to put a book down and just not pick it back up. You know what I mean?
You've got to... Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, you've got to read Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke. I know I've recommended this to you before. It is the wildest... It's, like, 100 pages. It's real short. And it is just wild. Start to finish.
All right, I'll try and remember that. I will not.
I know.
I'll try. Are there good zombie books?
There are good zombie books.
Like, I don't think I've ever read a zombie book.
Actually, you know what? Oh my God, it's packed away. And I'm going to forget the title of it. But there was one that I read it a long time ago. And then I went and bought the book so I could reread it. And it was these twins. There's a brother and sister. And they're living in a world after, like, a zombie breakout has happened, and they have these little containment zones where it's like the safe zone, and they live just their lives like this, but they're reporters and they go out into the not safe zones and report on shit that's going on. And they end up following this guy on a campaign to be like president or some shit. It's a really good book. And now I'm going to be mad because I can't remember the title of it.
Does not sound familiar to me at all. Did they make a movie?
No, they did not. I wish they did, though, because it was such a good book. Now I'm going to have to find it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read a zombie book that I can think of.
I really liked, when I was going through my big zombie phase, I got the Zombie Survival Guide. Which is a lot of fun because it's done by Max Brooks, who did World War Z also, which I did not like. I didn't like the book. I didn't like the movie.
I didn't mind that movie.
I didn't like it as a zombie movie. It was fine as an action film.
Well, you know how I feel about Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Everyone knows how you feel about Brad. How do you feel about Brad Pitt?
I don't know how I feel about Brad Pitt.
You know, the long sidebar we had about Brad Pitt?
I do.
Yeah.
And I really liked, there's an indie series by Tim McBain and L.T. Vargas. It's called The Scattered and the Dead. And it, I think, is really good. It just kind of follows there was a spinoff. There was like a prequel book that was a standalone story that told pretty much how the zombie virus happens. And then there was a series that took place after the apocalypse, and I really loved those. And then I also, they're dumb, but I also really liked not all of them, but there was a trend for a while of putting zombies into public domain stories. The big one was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Obviously, that was like a huge deal. The one that I really liked was The Art of War and Zombies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought it was really well done.
I tried to watch the movie version of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and I think I made it 30 minutes in.
I'm sorry. Because a movie version?
Yeah. There's a movie. And I was expecting it to be like this goofy, you know, silly movie or whatever. But it was just like straight up Pride and Prejudice with zombies.
And
I was like,
zombies.
I don't want to see this. This is dumb.
And actually, if you read the book, it is verbatim Pride and Prejudice with zombies.
I forgot about that book. I didn't know they did that.
But The Art of War and Zombies was a lot more, I think it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I didn't know they did a whole thing. Like, I didn't know that was like a trend. I knew about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I didn't know they did a bunch of them.
The one that really disappointed me, because Pride and Prejudice, I didn't like that much to begin with, so it wasn't like it was ruined for me when I was disappointed with that. But Alice in Zombieland was really disappointing, because there was so much potential with that.
That could have been so cool.
Yeah.
It could have been so good.
Yeah, that could have been an interesting one.
I found the name of the book I was talking about. It's called Feed. Yeah, it's by Mira Grant, which is actually I can't remember what they're called, but that's not his real name. But it's called the News Flesh Trilogy. There's about three of them. I've only ever read the first one, but it was really, really, really good because they're like teenagers or whatever, or young adults, and they have like this whole website and this blog about, they do journalism about zombies and how life is now, and this is really, really good.
That's exciting. I might have to check those out.
Well, I can send it to you after I move, because I own it now.
I also, obviously we talked about the show a little bit, but I really liked the Walking Dead comics. I did not finish them, but I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I read some of those. I got like the first couple of trade paperbacks or whatever and read them.
Yeah.
I enjoyed those much more than the show because things actually happened in the comic books. The show, like, nothing ever happens.
I mean, things happen in the show.
Not
arguably really. Too much is happening in the last season.
I was going to say. Did you finish the last season yet?
I have. So it's the long season. I'm 16 episodes in to what I believe is a 26 episode season.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like it will not end.
No, probably not.
But while we're talking about zombie shows, this was something that I just kind of wanted to talk about. It's horror adjacent, but it's very zombie focused. My all-time favorite zombies on television were actually the White Walkers from Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, they are zombies, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are zombies.
They were really fucking cool.
I really loved the design. I felt like it was a very consistent design, even though there was variety in the makeup from person to person. It made sense what the rate of decomposition was.
Yeah.
And there's one episode in season 5, I believe. It's called Hard Home, and it's the season where they go up past the wall into the wildling encampment that's been fighting the White Walkers. And I think that's absolutely one of the most beautifully shot television episodes, and one of my all-time favorite. Like, if it was just that episode of Game of Thrones, it might be one of my favorite zombie movies, because the attention to detail in the zombies for that episode was so amazing.
I kind of remember that. You know, here's the thing about Game of Thrones. I never missed an episode of that. Like, it was appointment television for me. I loved that show.
Yeah.
And now I don't remember a damn thing about it.
You should go back and watch just Hard Home.
Yeah. When I hear people talk about it, they start throwing out those stupid names they all had and everything, you know, those dumb fantasy world names. And I'm just like, I don't know. I have no idea who you're talking about.
It's one of those shows that I really want to go back to. And now I feel like it's been long enough. Like Rob said, he doesn't remember shit. Like, I don't remember anything that happened in the early seasons anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was always a challenge for me every time there was like a new season started, because they would start talking about people and they'd be like, we got to go talk to this person. I'm like, who the fuck is that person? All right, I got to look them up. Let me see. It's that guy. I could never remember. Those stupid names. I could never remember who anybody was.
Oh, my God. Such a good show.
And one thing, the other thing. So there were the White Walkers, which I think some of the best television zombies ever, but they actually had multiple kinds of zombies in Game of Thrones, because they also had a death plague that would turn you into like a mindless gray creature. They had grayscale.
In
the Doom of Old Valyria, which and then you could argue, I guess, that the resurrections, because the Lord of Light was just kind of bringing people back from the dead, but that was a lot more zombie-like in the book than it was in the show. But there was, however, there were medical experiments done on the mountain. So he also kind of comes back. I've seen a lot of cases that he was also a zombie. Mm-hmm. But I do just think it's really funny that like some of the most interesting and diverse zombie mythology comes from like a fantasy show of the many horror shows that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But HBO was over there like, we'll give you some zombies.
Yeah, they really were. I've always wanted to read those books, but since the series isn't done, I'm like, I don't want to pick them up and start reading them and then like him die without finishing the series, and then like I'm just left like with only season 8 ending.
Thanks. There was an announcement that like way forever ago, probably like from the 90s, that it was supposed to be a 5-book series. So I started it when book 5 came out, and then come to find out, it's like, oh, well, I couldn't get it done at 5 books. It's going to be closer to 8. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've been lied to.
Yeah. That's why I want to read them so bad, because I know they differ quite a bit on some things, and I really, really, really want to read them, but I'm like, I can't bring myself to do it, because I know it's going to be one of those books where I start it and I'm not going to be able to put them down until I finish them. And if I can't actually finish them with the last book, I'm going to be so upset.
It's been hard to wait around that last book.
Oh, yeah.
But good zombie content, though. Mm-hmm. Those are also very good zombie books in an unintentional way.
Yeah. Yeah. It took a long time for me to start watching that show. I think I had to catch up because I think it was like around season 3 or something. Where I was finally like, all right, I'll watch this because people kept telling me how good it was. But then they would use the worst descriptions. They would be like, it's a fantasy show and there's dragons. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not gonna watch that.
See, that's and then the they said there's naked me. People, and you're like, I'm in.
No, you know what sealed it for me wasn't even the nudity, which was awesome, by the way. But it was I think it's the end of the first episode where they pushed that kid out of the tower.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this show's for me, dude. They will kill a kid. That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, it was like the exact opposite for me. I'm very easy to please. If there are dragons and something, I'll watch it. But no one told me that it's like a fucking dragon show. And I was like, this looks really dumb. And everyone's like, oh, you should watch it. It's got political intrigue and the costumes are gorgeous. And I was like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to watch that. Dumb.
How did you find out there were dragons?
I finally... this is a little bit embarrassing to admit. I had a crush on someone and his pickup line was like, I have the Game of Thrones DVDs if you want to come see them. And I was like, sure. Do you want me to spend 20 to 30 hours at your house? Yes. And then I was like, and I watched the first season and I was like, this is not so bad. Like, this isn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. But then it ended with dragons and I was like, how the fuck has this show been on for 3 years and I'm just finding out about the goddamn dragons?
Like, that's hysterical. But honestly, like, I did that with Supernatural. I only started watching it because a guy I had a crush on watched it.
That pickup never works for me. I'm always going up to women being like, I got all the Friday the 13th on Blu-ray. You want to come back to my place?
You got to let them know you got something else. It's probably Friday the 13th that's not working for you.
I'll try Halloween.
I don't know. I will say both the Game of Thrones and Friday the 13th pickup lines have worked for me since then.
Oh, well then.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. The ladies at the bus station don't like that.
Oh, no.
All right. So are we done talking about zombies or is there more we need to cover here?
Unless anyone has any favorite zombie games.
I already mentioned Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite games ever. I feel like a lot of games have the same kind of formula as that. Back 4 Blood, which just came out recently, big zombie game. It's a great game. I'm trying to think. Dead Rising is another pretty big zombie game that came out a long time ago. I think there were like 3 sequels to it too. But yeah, Left 4 Dead was like, that was my game. I played that game every single night. I used to get in trouble and get yelled at because I'd be up on my laptop playing a game until 2 o'clock in the morning on a school night. So that was one of my big forays into gaming and I guess horror too, because, you know, it is technically a horror video game. So,
yeah, no, I will intentionally not play a video game if it has zombies in it.
Yeah, I think it was overdone for a while.
Yeah, it just, to me, it seems like just the laziest, easiest thing for them to do anymore. And the one time I did buy a zombie game that I got excited about, the game sucked. I bought Days Gone. And that game was terrible.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I really like How to Survive. I thought it was fun. It's pretty much... It's a zombie game. I mean, you collect resources to build. It's got like everything you would want a zombie game to have. Pretty straightforward. The other one I wanted to talk about, I really love House of the Dead.
I don't think I've heard of that.
A passion. It's an arcade game.
Was it turned into a movie?
It was turned into one of the shittiest movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I have seen that shitty movie, yeah.
Solid. But the game's a lot of fun. That you get like your little plastic arcade guns and you just get to shoot zombies.
Oh, that is very fun.
It's a ton of fun.
Oh yeah, those games are fun. The arcade games with the guns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are a good time.
They're always a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much my history with zombie video games though, is Days Gone. And
if that was my my first zombie game, I would never have touched another zombie.
Yeah, what a huge disappointment that game was.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that.
It looked so cool. And then I bought it.
Deceiving with video games.
Yeah, it was not good. All right.
But yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kat, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at @Kat_Velour, VOLEUR.
All right. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at This Horror Life. You can send us an email. Let us know what zombie stuff we forgot at thishorrorlife@gmail.com. Ghost, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at GhostDJ with a zero. You can also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/GhostDJ, also with a zero.
Awesome. And I am on Twitter at RadioRob123. And you can listen to my other show with Kat, Slasher Radio, wherever you are listening to This Horror Life. Ghost, Kat, thank you so much for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.